This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. Let's get right to it on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, our Saints radio color analyst, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
No problem, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Deuce, kind of broke right as we got on the air about Justin Reed. Now, I know Justin just a little bit. I know Eric Moore because, you know, he played at LSU and I got to know him there. Man, Eric, he was a tilt-the-field guy. You talk about an intimidator. He was that. Ended up being a first-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers. But Justin goes out west, goes to Stanford, a really good football player with the Texans. And then basically, you know, he just missed a handful, not say handful, a couple of fingers full of games throughout his career. A hard-hitting guy, plays the run well, good in the coverage part of the game, and has been on three teams that have been in the Super Bowl and two winning ones. Your thoughts on Justin Reed?
Well, anytime you can add guys that have been there, kind of done that, I think it obviously helps, you know, from a playmaking standpoint. He's got the credentials, you know. And, Mike, really for me, I need to see the fit of the defense. I mean, because with some of the stuff that the Saints have done, obviously with, you know, retaining a lot of your players that you've had the last couple of years, but knowing that you will be a multiple defense, but, you know, maybe based out of the 3-4 more, then, you know, I need to see how they're going to utilize some of those bodies. I mean, because right now, I don't know if you have enough linebackers on that roster to be able to fill it like you need to fill it. And so is Justin going to be a guy that, hey, you know, he's more of my third safety guy? Or now contract tells me that he's going to be on the field a lot, you know, yes, when you look at that contract. And so, you know, I just need to see more. And we just hadn't had a chance to see that. But I definitely like somebody that has kind of been there, done that, and I can play multiple positions. And I think that's where he's going to fit in Coach Staley's defense.
One of the things yesterday, we had Pete Jenkins on, and I was asking Pete about the difference in the 3-4 alignment today. Then maybe because he was there when Bum Phillips and all kind of brought that in from college to the NFL. And he was like, Mike, it's a little bit different at nose tackle because you can shade them a little bit left or right. It's not as distinct. He brought up the fact you need big outside linebackers. As soon as I heard the news about Chase Young, the first thing that popped in my mind, is this team going to move him and let him play as a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker in that new defense that Brandon Staley's going to bring to the Saints? Your thoughts?
No, he fits that role. Yeah. I mean, and so, like, most teams are going to do that anyway, particularly when I want to kind of confuse you on some looks. But I still think this team will ultimately live out of a nickel front. You know, the other thing also, I'm thinking of Iowa's defense. It is the tight It's not necessarily a three, but it's more of a tight two.
Yeah.
I think you might also see some of that type of look as far as from your defensive tackles, because just trying to figure out, hey, what's the basis of this defense? Is it a traditional 3-4? And you talk to a lot of coaches, and it's not really necessarily a traditional 3-4, you know, just because of the alignment of some of those guys that, hey, he's not a true five anymore. You know, you talk about those defensive ends / defensive tackles just because they move them in a little bit. And one of the coaches that I've talked to is saying, hey, look, think of the Iowa defense on some of that the tight looks, whether it's a 2 or four-eye kind of look as far as where they are on the shade of a lot of those guys. And I think that's where you kind of get your answer as far as some of the looks defensively.
Because we see it in flashes with Chase of, man, you know, and he had 5.5 sacks, but he had a lot of pressures. Now, I wish you to turn some of those pressures into sacks or tackles for losses. But, Deuce, if I'm going to take a shot at a guy, and, man, the market is unbelievable what they pay in starting either a defensive end or 3-4 outside linebacker, I'm going to take a shot at this 25-year-old. I'm going to take a shot at him. I know he's talented.
Former number two pick. Former number two pick. And so if the only thing that I'm going to fuss about is, hey, he didn't get enough sacks, then, hey, Coach Davis, I got a project for you here.
Yeah.
So, Davis, here's the project. Can you refine this talent completely? Because we can see the talent. You know, injuries limited the opportunities as far as being on the field. Didn't have that issue with the Saints as much last year. You were available for all of those games. But can you refine this talent so it can really shine and be who everybody thought he could be, you know, coming out of college? And so, and even looking at those numbers, and you just spoke about it, Mike, it's not even – it's a great deal for Chase. It's a great deal, but when you look at some of those other numbers for what guys have signed for over the last couple of years.
Okay, I think we might have lost Deuce. We'll try to get him back online, but Deuce was talking about Chase Young and the deal, and he's right about it. Man, you look at some of these numbers that are all across the board getting defensive linemen. We got Deuce back on. Deuce, you were talking about the defensive line pay across the NFL, and I think for so many fans, they just concentrate on the Saints. But, man, you look at some of these numbers that are going around for starting defensive linemen. Good gracious.
It speaks for itself, and we can talk about the cap going up, and you know most of the contracts that you really see, and you got to understand where you are in with really what's guaranteed for a player. But what comes up in about, I guess, 4 or 5 years, Mike? What comes up? Something big should be renegotiated around that time.
It's a new TV deal, right? And I hear the cash register ring in the background because of,
so most agents are gonna are going to do what? Hey, my guy is 25. Yeah. I can get him back to the table before he turns 30. In 3 or 4 years, 5 years, that new deal will be coming through. How much streaming comes to play? How much will that new Thursday night come to play? How much does some of the non-traditional TV stations want to continue to play? That's all. You just said it. That cash register is ringing. Agents know that as well. You know, they see what's going on, and, you know, if the agent doesn't know it, he's probably not a very good agent. But
no, I'd fire him. I'd fire him if he didn't know. One thing Bo don't have to worry about, he knows what Davin Godchaw can do. I mean, he's played in the league a long time. I remember watching him at Plaquemine. He hurt his knee as a senior. He came in as an end, and they put him at defensive tackle. And Coach Jenkins was talking about this yesterday. He was a 4-3 defensive tackle, a 3-4 defensive end. He's played the nose tackle position, but in that defense, you need a guy that's going to stop the run. And, Deuce, we've talked about it. This team has had a lot of difficulty stopping the run. That's what Godchaw brings to the table, a big man that can do that.
Well, that definitely helps you a lot. That you'll sign some of the other defensive tackles back, or at least extend some of those deals. But the Saints, you've got to be able to, before you can rush the pass, you better be able to stop the run. And so you can talk about having opportunities and guys that can do this, that, and the other. But if you can't stop the run, particularly how the league is kind of changing now, you don't stand a chance. And so hopefully they can shore that up inside. got a little bit more. And, you know, I think, you know, any team will tell you we've got to get faster. That's one of the things that they addressed a little. They've got to continue to get faster on defense. And, you know, that will help them try to accomplish some of the things that they want to be able to do.
And then, Deuce, before we let you run, the last major move that was made today, Juwan Johnson signing that three-year deal that's about $10 million average annual value, $21 million guaranteed. You know, the extension that he signed a couple years ago, and now this is a second extension with the Black and Gold. Your thoughts on the move and just where it puts him? Right now, if you're looking at general contract value among tight ends, he's basically right outside the top 10 as far as, you know, pay per year. But I want to get your thoughts on the move for the Saints to bring back Juwan Johnson.
Juwan continued to ascend. Injuries, I think, have slowed you down. You can be a dominant tight end. This offense is based off of 12 personnel, so you're going to be on the field a ton. Now, it's about you just continuing to dominate and really taking that next step. You know, hopefully injuries kind of are out the way for you. You're talking about a guy that was undrafted receiver, changed to a tight end, and at times has looked fantastic. Hopefully he can continue to ascend and, you know, kind of give the Saints one of those weapons. And, you know, I know some of the numbers out there. I wouldn't be surprised for the Saints to kind of draft a tight end this upcoming year. You know, the question will be, will it be with one of your, you know, kind of top 100 picks? There's a ton of different guys out there as far as body types and types of skill sets that I think fits this offense. It just depends on where they want to go with that position.
Deuce, last question I'll ask for you, because I get asked every day. Jackson Dart. And, you know, I watched him progress in Lane Kiffin's offense and what he was able to do. He's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. He can move around in that pocket. Very smart young man. I would say he's got an above average arm. He doesn't have the cannon, but he's accurate. He stays away from the bad passes most of the time. The one thing he does bad is sometimes, man, he want to force a deep pass when there's an easy throw underneath, and he got to break that habit. And I don't know how much is that is him and how much is that is Kiffin wanting him to do that also. But I don't see him getting out of round one. I think somewhere on the back end of there, that's where he's going to end up.
Well, for me, Mike, he's top 20. And the only reason I say top 20 instead of back end, and it's just like you talked about, I have the fifth-year option. You control their option. And any quarterback that you can control that, you'll do it, even though maybe you don't like that. I don't want to say he's a reach, but maybe, hey, this is a premier spot that maybe he doesn't have to play year one for me. But I control that fifth-year option. And so, for me, he'll be a top 20. I would certainly be surprised if he's there, like you kind of say, at the end of round one, and he hadn't been picked. You know, he's kind of made a name for himself a little bit more since the draft process has started. But for me, when you look at some of the quarterbacks, particularly in that top end, he's right there on the edge of we've got to take him in the first round to control that fifth year. But I think, you know, in a year or two, he could help some team.
How about Curtis? You know, is he starting on that varsity team, going to the championship game? Country Day?
Well, they're going to the championship game, and, you know, they gave us a little heartburn there, but, I mean, Country Day was able to pull it out, and I got to see Elijah Haven, who is the number one player in the country. I mean, Elijah, he looks like a football player. He is thick, and he is a talented, talented kid, but the young man can play, and so we were able to edge him out a little bit there, so exciting over here in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Best of luck to you guys. Thanks so much for joining us this evening, Deuce. Always appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Deuce.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All righty. Deuce McAllister, Saints radio analyst here on the Big 870 WWL. When we come back, Jeff Duncan will join us, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTayo along with Charlie Long in studio, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. And Jeff, thanks for joining us. And right off the bat, I'm going to ask about the new acquisition at safety, Justin Reed from the Chiefs. But I'm going to read you a text because we have three Chiefs coaches that come to the Louisiana Line Camp every year. And so I text all three. I got a reply back from the first one. He was like, great signing for the Saints. Justin's a good kid, smart, intelligent young man, rarely makes a mental mistake on the field, great against the run, and has gotten much better in the coverage part of the game. That's a big plus for the Saints.
Yeah, Mike, I would agree 100%. I think he's probably the most important free agent they're going to sign, especially from outside the building. He's going to fit perfectly into Brandon Staley's defensive scheme. I talked to Brandon Staley yesterday at length about what he wants to do, and the first thing he said was, I want versatile, flexible players, and that's what Justin Reed is. He can play down the line of scrimmage. He's certainly better there than he's been back in coverage, but he had a really good year last year, Mike and Charlie, on the back end, and the Saints certainly going to need that. I think it was a perfect fit, too, with the kind of character and intelligence guys that they want to bring into this locker room. And I know he's 30. You know, a lot of times you don't want to sign a guy at that age, but he's actually playing better as he's gotten older. So I think it's a perfect fit for what they want to do on defense.
With Chase Young, we had the conversation yesterday with Pete Jenkins, and Pete's good friends with Bo. And he told me, he said, I told Bo, you don't have a linebacker on your team that can play that 3-4 outside linebacker. You need a big body 3-4 outside linebacker. And so I'm driving home, and then a little after 8 o'clock, Chase Young comes to an agreement with the Saints. And that was kind of like that poison pill that if he didn't sign, then, man, you got to eat some of that cap money on this year's cap. My first thought is right off the bat, and I don't know what the defense looks like, Chase Young's going to play outside linebacker in a 3-4 alignment.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't 100% know if they know exactly what scheme they're going to play yet, Mike. I mean, talking to Staley yesterday, he kept couching it as, we want to see first the personnel we have in the building before we decide. I think they're going to be in so many hybrid defenses. You know how the game has gone. I mean, it's become a matchup game more than ever. I don't know necessarily we can say yet exactly what scheme they're going to be in most of the time. I think they're going to be bouncing around with different fronts. So I'm hesitant to say it, even though I know his whole background has been 3-4, Vic Fangio. He would not commit to that yesterday when we talked to him, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. If he didn't commit to that, then there's some thought behind this. The Juwan Johnson signing, and he's had some injuries here, but it's the inconsistent play more than anything. I think when you watch him, there are spurts where, especially down the stretch last year, I thought he played really well last couple games of the season, catching the football. That, when you look at it from a financial standpoint and the way money's being thrown around, Jeff, gee, Monetti, all over the place, and they got it to do it. And listen, I'm all for the player there. The more money you can get, better off you are. But the Juwan Johnson signing, for me, does not take tight end off the board with an early pick.
No, I agree, because he's strictly kind of a flex tight end. You know, he's a beefed up wide receiver, but I've always felt like, Mike, that he's a guy the Saints really haven't tapped all the potential that he has. And maybe this new offensive system with a fresh set of eyes and Kellen Moore can take advantage of him, because he's a talented guy that I keep waiting every year for a breakout. And, you know, I keep telling everybody, draft him in your fantasy team, and then he never does anything. I look like an idiot. But
no, Hebert did the same thing.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Man, he got people calling up in here, man, all upset with him. He was like, Mike, I didn't do nothing wrong. I just gave him a tip. I said, you gave him a bad one, though, Hebert.
Well, he's all airline drive. I mean, he's always been the guy, like, in training camp that lights it up, and you see the talent, and he's got a great attitude. I think he's one of the leaders on the team. Kind of a quiet guy, but I like having him back in the building. It sounds to me, just talking to the coaches yesterday, I mean, they're really trying to get that locker room in order. That's a big priority for them. Not that they had problems with it, but I just feel like it's an emphasis this offseason, and Juwan Johnson fits into that, I think.
Jeff, Mike and I have talked a lot about the draft, and specifically the strengths of it. Tight end is one of those classes that Mike has brought up, running back, but defensive line is the best for this upcoming draft class. And, you know, the Saints, yes, they bring back Chase Young, but interior defensive line still felt like a big need. But they do go out and make that move for Davin Godshaw, and he comes back to Louisiana, the former LSU Tiger. Good run stuffer, and that was a big problem on this team this past season, which it felt like every single week, Jeff, we were talking about some random running back rushing for a career high against the Saints. I specifically remember, like, Amir Abdullah with the Raiders doing it late in the season. Just, like, you need some beef up front. And especially when you're making the shift to the 3-4 defense, a nose tackle was a key need for this team. And they get a veteran piece with Davin Godshaw to kind of fill that hole.
Yeah, it's a huge priority for them. They've got to get better against the run. It won't matter what they do on the back end if they can't stop the run. And I'm not sure they're going to stop there. I mean, I think you're right. The draft could certainly put them in position to draft an interior defensive run stopper up high. I know it's probably the deepest position on defense in this draft. You can get a good defensive tackle. Mike would know better than me, but I'm sure even below the first round.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, 24.
Yeah, right?
24 of my top 75 are defensive linemen.
There's going to be a big run
I've never seen that, just like 2 years ago with the tight end position, but 24 of my top 75 defensive linemen.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can get one. You don't have to expend. I think, guys, they could go in so many directions at number 9. I know we always talk about best player available, but, I mean, I really think that's what they have to do, because they get so many needs. The roster's so thin that they could use help just about anywhere. And usually about number 9, you're going to have a guy graded that's definitely a first-round grade, right, Mike? And so they could probably go in a number of directions there. But I always think of some of the Saints scouts. They've always told me, I've heard this from them years after years, God only made so many big men that could move and have agility. And so I think going in the trenches, even though I know fans would like to see a sexy, you know, playmaker – which I don't think would be a bad choice. I still think that's kind of the where we see the league going. You see it in free agency right now, where everyone's trying to mimic what happened with the Eagles, how they dominated in the trenches. And they didn't get those guys, getting them in the fourth and fifth round. They got them up high in the first round.
I look at the Bucks and how they've done things, and Jason Light's done a tremendous job because, you know, he had a team, and they were all chips in, okay? You had Brady, you had Gronk, you brought in Fournette, Ndamukong Suh. I can go on and on with all the veterans they brought in. But then you got the salary cap hit. And he was like, okay, we got to start with a real young team. And how the Bucks have rebuilt mostly has been through the draft. And you look at the last 3 years, every draft choice that they've selected is still on that roster. So for me, I think the crux of the matter, we can talk about free agency, everything else. This team has to get younger, faster, and they have to do it through the draft.
I could not agree more. I know the Saints like to target guys and use draft picks to go get a guy they love. I understand that, but I don't understand that philosophy when you're as good as Jeff Ireland and his college scouting staff are. I think it's one of the strengths of the entire organization. I know it is. And Jeff Ireland, I know people are upset. They feel like the last few years they haven't hit on a lot of, you know, impact players, and that's true, but you go through those ruts in drafting, and Jeff Ireland's track record, I think, with the Saints and in the league, he's widely respected. I'd let him cook, man. I'd let him have as many picks as he could because I think they're that good at drafting, and maybe they hit on another 2017 or 2006 type of home run draft when you have that many shots at it. And this is a good draft in a lot of different positions. And the Saints need help. And to get out of this salary cap mess, they've got to have young talent, like you said, Mike. I hate to use the term cheap labor, but that's what it works in the NFL. Get guys on rookie contracts and build around that for the future.
Yes, minimum wage, NFL style. And again, that's, you look at how the Bucks have done it, that's how they've been able to rebuild that team in short order. Last question for you at running back. We know what you got in Alvin Kamara. I don't know anything more about Kendra Miller than when they picked him. I know he gets hurt a lot, and, you know, he has shown a tendency maybe not to put in the greatest effort off the field. And even Deuce has made that comment a few times about, you know, come on, you got to understand your position here as a professional player. This team has to go running back early. Has to go running back fairly early in this draft. And I'm talking about second, third, fourth rounds of the draft.
I think they could even draft Jenty at number 9 and people would go crazy here, right? I mean, hey, let's not forget, where did Kellen Moore go to college? Where's Ashton Jenty from? There is that connection, right? So I could see something like that because whatever they do at number 9, I think you both would agree with me. They can't miss. They cannot afford to miss on that pick. It's got to be a high floor guy that's going to be around for the next, you know, 7-8 years and be a core player to build around. And I think Jenty is one of those guys. Everything you hear, read about him, he's a great kid. He's a special talent. That's what they need to hit there. So if they have to draft one at number 9, I say do it because Alvin Kamara has probably got one more year in him before he moves on. And I don't think you can count on Kendra Miller. I don't think anybody in the building feels like he's a guy we're going to build around. Now, maybe he surprises them, but it would take something. At this point in his career, he's a question mark.
Jeff, we'll see if he's there at pick 9. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
The one thing
Pete might settle that.
Yeah, Pete Carroll and the Raiders at pick 6 feel like a good landing spot for Ashton Jenty. The one thing that I think people get kind of washed up with is positional value, and it's why, you know, some draft analysts that we've had on say the Saints shouldn't take Tyler Warren at pick 9 or they can't afford to take Ashton Jenty at pick 9. But to your point, it just feels like with a roster that has so many holes on it, you just got to go with the best player on your board. And if that is a running back or if that is a tight end, then, I mean, nobody should be annoyed with it at that point. Like, if you have a top 5 player on your board that falls to you at pick 9, just go up and get him.
Yeah, it's what your board tells you. I mean, the best example of that, Mike, you referenced him earlier, Deuce McAllister.
Yep.
He was sticking out like a sore thumb on the Saints board that year. They already had Ricky Williams, who they traded an entire draft for on the roster, and they drafted him. Randy Mueller drafted him. They traded Ricky Williams, got first-round picks, two of them the next year, and Deuce was ends up being the all-time rusher franchise history. It was a great move. That's exactly right, Charlie. Take the best player you got. Don't worry about position. And the Saints have needs everywhere, like we've determined.
Yeah, you can kind of hit that check mark across the board. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always enjoy when you come on with us.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great night.
All right. You too, Jeff. Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. When we come back, it'll be our triple option feature. Myself along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, gentlemen, the NFL free agency buzz has been pretty consistent, and we even had another interesting trade today. C.J. Gardner-Johnson on to another team, gentlemen. The Eagles are trading him to the Texans for Kenyon Green. Gardner-Johnson thought that Howie Roseman was pranking him on the phone, asking him, is this an April Fool's joke? Well, no joke, Roseman said, explaining to Gardner-Johnson that the Eagles have to pay their younger players like Jalen Carter, Reed Blankenship, and Zach Bond. Well, C.J., G.J., maybe he's growing up a bit. He said there's no bad blood. But just really odd, you know, a really productive player. We know he's got that boisterous attitude about him, but this is the second time now he's leaving Philadelphia, and now Houston is becoming his fourth different team since getting drafted by the Saints in 2019.
Man, he ain't going to rub Howie the wrong way because he might have to give him a call one day. Hey, Howie, I'm open up. I don't want that much money. I'm ready to go back to Philly, Charlie.
I don't think you would ever be angry at a place where you won a Super Bowl either, guys. So, you know, we'll see what his future
man,
holds.
Listen, I've seen crazier stuff, Charlie.
Yeah, especially with someone like CJ. Anyways, guys, I'm going with Todd Archer had reported earlier. Peyton Turner, former 2021 first-round pick of the Saints, signs a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys, $3 million, $2 million guaranteed, and bye-bye.
Good luck.
Just a couple weeks ago, guys, Peyton Turner posted on his Instagram story a picture of an old dusty Rolls Royce, and he had the caption on it saying, quote, no matter how good you are, if you are in the wrong place, you are worthless.
Who's he talking about?
I don't know, man.
They gave him every opportunity here.
Absolutely. Peyton Turner, in the 4 years since being a first-round draft pick in 2021, played in 31 games. Hmm. 31 games in the 4 years. He played in 5 in 2021, 8 in 2022, only 2 in 2023, and 16 in 2024. You know, like, congratulations for playing that many games, but I was surprised when I saw that he played 16 games in 2024, guys. His production just wasn't there.
Right, because you weren't calling his name much.
In his career, he's got 5 total sacks. Yeah. So, good luck.
And we hadn't brought it up because so many other things, but Marcus Davenport re-signs back with the Lions. And, man, it goes to show you, even a guy like Dan Campbell, he's all about toughness. Man, you give me effort. All this other stuff, man, I see the talent, and I take a look at that guy. Maybe I can.
You just texted to me today, Mike. Potential.
Yeah, it's not production. It's a little bit. It's a little bit different on that. I want to congratulate Nicholls State basketball for the first time in Nicholls State basketball history. They have won 20 games back to back. So Tavon Sadler has done a great job at Nicholls. Last night they beat UIW in overtime to get that 20th win, and so. Man, congratulations to Coach and the Nicholls State basketball team. He's youngest coach in college basketball.
Wow.
And still in his 20s. Hmm. So I told him he looked like he could still play. I mean, you know, he does have that look about him. So congratulations to Von Sadler and the Nicholls State Colonel basketball team. I think they play again tonight in one of the semifinal games in the Southland Conference. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, let's go to Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to L.A. Cody. L.A. Cody in the huddle with me, Steve, Charlie.
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask y'all some thoughts and assessments on two players. One, Cam Jordan. Do you think they're going to let him finish his tender here with the Saints? Because I think he's really a big clog in our defense. I think he's a leader. I think he's highly someone that motivates. And, you know, he's well-loved by the team. So I would hope they would let him finish the last, you know, part of his career here in New Orleans. The other player is Taysom. Do you think Kalen is going to use him in the same role as Dennis and Peyton, or is he going to be limited to one position?
With Cam, if I was Mickey Loomis, I'd have had to sit down with him. Tell me how you want to finish this, Cam. Do you want to finish with us? And we're going to keep you.
Right.
If you want to but if you want to move on, let us know.
We get it.
And we understand, and you've done a great job here. So I would assume that that conversation most likely happened, and I do think he finishes out with the Saints. With Taysom Hill, depends on the recovery and how you feel about how quickly he can come back. He had multiple injuries, and so it's not just like maybe a torn MCL or ACL. He had a couple injuries there, and so that's going to be the key of how you use him when he comes back and how quickly he can come back from the injury.
We haven't heard anything to say otherwise that Cam won't be on the Saints in 2025, guys. And so that would be our expectation. But to your point, you know, how much longer are you going to be playing football type of thing? Cam's going on a long career already. But as you mentioned, L.A. Cody, and as you mentioned as well, Mike, he's earned the right to retire as a Saint. And I think a lot of Saints fans would have kind of a bad taste in their mouth if he ever played for any other uniform.
Well, if he was chasing a ring, another
I would get it.
I would understand that. I would definitely understand that. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.